Here's a word from the Lord, y'all. There's a word from the Lord. Let me show of hands, show of hands. Who in here enjoys mountain climbing? You're the outdoorsman type. Oh, we got some in the house today. Mountain climbing? Maybe the heights, maybe the great outdoors. We got some folk over here in the house that y'all enjoy all of this. Not a whole lot of hands came up, y'all. Not a whole lot, because you know what? I learned this phrase, y'all, recently. It's called risk averse. And y'all know what? I'm risk averse. I am. I'll look at a situation. If it looks like it's dangerous, I might hurt myself. I'm not doing it. People, thrill seekers, jump out of perfectly good airplanes. I don't care how many parachutes you put on me, I'm not jumping out of an airplane. I'm not going to do it. I'm risk averse. Some people love to deep sea dive, y'all, to put that head, get a snorkel on, that backpack thing that's got the rebreather or whatever, then go down in the ocean. I love God's air right here on earth, I can breathe it, y'all. I don't need a rebreather on my face. I don't want to be in some ocean looking at the pretty fish, and then there's some big old fish that could eat me up, coming along and eat me up. I like to eat fish. I don't want them eating me. I'm risk averse. I'll take the swimming pool any day. I'll get in the swimming pool any day. Y'all, when it comes to safaris and hikes and being in the woods with the lions and the tigers and the bears, I'll go to the zoo, watch some animals, take a couple of pictures, and go home. We'll call it a day. When it comes to the issue of mountain climbing, I don't like climbing mountains. That's just the honest truth. But I found out something about mountains, that in the human experience, mountains symbolize hard-to-reach places. That oftentimes when we think about mountains in our lives, we think about those hard and difficult places to reach, the struggles that we have in our lives because of the mountains that are in our lives. And the very thought of those mountains calls us to want to quit, to throw in the towel, and to simply to give up. Let me ask you the question. What mountains are you facing right now? Some of you are facing a mountain called finances. Some of you are facing mountains called marriage issues. Some of you are facing mountains called trouble with your children, trouble with your health. Some of you are facing mountains because it looks like you have a lack of opportunity. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you put in, nothing is coming back to you, and you're facing mountains. That you're in a hard place right now. Something's hard to reach in your life. What's hard to reach in your life right now? Is it a hope? Is it a dream? Is it some ambition? Some place you're trying to go, something you're trying to do, but mountains are in the way. What mountains are you facing? What mountains are you trying to conquer right now in your life? But know something. With every dream worth realizing comes a mountain. Have you ever found that out in life? That if it's worth having, you got to fight for it. Yes, that the marriage is worth it, but you got to fight for it. Yeah. You want your mind to stay sane and straight, but you got to fight for it sometimes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That you want a close relationship with your own children. And some of you say like you're fighting for it. You're fighting for their love and for their affection. Sometimes you just trust them to God. But we all deal with mountains in our lives. Turn in your Bibles with me real quick to Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. We'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 through 15. I read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were in Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers, who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land." Stop letting people talk you out of a blessing. "For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God." We walk by faith and not by sight. "So that day, Moses solemnly promised me The land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land that your descendants for, and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. You can never negate obedience. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all these 45 years since Moses made his this promise. Even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, today I am 85 years old. A lot of time passed, y'all. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me this hill country. I love the King James. It says, give me this mountain that the Lord promised me. You remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns, but the Lord is with me. I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Previously, Hebron had been called Kiriath Arba. It had been named Arba by a great hero of the descendants of Anak, and the land had rest from war. Encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, faith that claims mountains. Faith that claims mountains. Now, there's a song that these great songwriters used to, he wrote a song a long time ago called Climb Every Mountain. Some of y'all remember the words of that song. Climb every mountain, ford across every stream, follow every rainbow till you find your dream. That sounds real good, but the songwriters made it plain that sometimes there are mountains in your way. There are streams and valleys that are in your way. There's an ocean that divides you from the thing that you're asking God for, the things that God has promised you, and you're waiting on those things. But Caleb reminds us this morning, y'all, that it's never too late to claim your mountain. It's never too late to dream. It's never too late to claim your piece of the rock, your room with the view, when God has promised you that particular thing, that it belongs to you because God says so, that God's people can claim God's promises through faith, that you can claim the promises of God through faith. Simply trust God, obey him, and watch him bring it to pass. That mountains must be claimed before they are conquered. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is speaking. And he says, whoever has faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. He's speaking in hyperbole. He's embellishing this thought. But the thought is about faith. But you can speak to a mountain, and the mountain can be removed and cast into the sea. Yeah. Do you have the kind of mountain-moving faith? In the text, Jesus said, it's just a little bit. But it's not the size of, it's the quality of the faith and who your faith is in. Yeah. That your faith by itself cannot move a mountain. God moves the mountain, but is your faith in him? If God said it can be moved, it can be moved. If God said it can be done, it can be done. Yes, yeah. That faith overcomes difficulty. That faith overcomes mountains. That faith overcomes the struggles that you are dealing with presently. Amen. So allow your faith in God, your trust in God, your hope in God and what God promised you to come to pass because God said it. That faith is rewarded with promise. Caleb, this great mountain claimer and conqueror, that he serves as a resident expert to us today in terms of how to claim and to conquer the mountains in your life. That he had faith to claim a mountain in his life. You go to Numbers chapters 13 and 14. That's where the backstory of this whole thing is with Caleb and Joshua. Did y'all know the story well, Bible readers, you in Sunday school, how God sends out these 12 spies to view the land that God had promised them, the promised land, the land of Canaan, that really already belonged to them. You read your Bible and your history, they were reclaiming what was theirs. They come up out of Egypt. They make it through the wilderness. They make it to the east side of the Jordan River. And Moses sends these 12 spies out. They come back with a report, y'all. They said, the land is flowing with milk and honey. Then it looks real good. Then listen. They have grapes the size of pomegranates. That the land is good. And if Kevin Love were there today, he'd say, look, they got a Popeyes there. That it's all good. It's all good in the neighborhood. But 10 of the spies said, listen, we got all of that in the land, but we can't take it because there are giants in the land. When you understand the story, God made them a promise. It belonged to them. It was theirs. Moses sent them into the land just to spy it out, to strategically see how they were going to conquer it strategically. But they thought, we can't take this. Two of them. These last two men of God, Joshua and Caleb, said, it's ours. So what happens? A whole generation of people wander around in the wilderness, and they die in the wilderness, never receiving the promise of God. Can you imagine Joshua and Caleb in that number of people? They didn't die. They were probably the younger generation, but they had to traipse through the wilderness with them. I can hear Caleb say, man, why didn't we just go and take it for the first time? God said it was ours. Why are we waiting? But what we find out about Caleb, we find out something about his faith, that his faith was unshakable. And it allowed him to claim and to conquer this mountain long before the promise was ever realized. The Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. The now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That faith will claim a thing before you ever receive it. Because faith clings to the promises of God. God said it, that settles it, and so it's mine. I may not know how, I may not know when, but God said it, and we receive it. So some people look at mountains, y'all, and they get scared. Some people see mountains, they give up. Some people see mountains, and they pray for its removal. Others see mountains, they're asking for permission to take the mountain. But Caleb saw the mountain, y'all. He said, give me this mountain, give me this hill country. It belongs to me, it's mine because God said it. Amen. Yeah. Y'all, Caleb didn't have reckless faith. Caleb has a remembered faith, a resilient faith, and a realized faith. And that's where I want to hang our hat for the just next few minutes. So the first thing to put in our backpack from the text is simply this, that faith remembers the promise. Faith holds on to the promise. Verses 6 through 11, I'll let y'all read that, but you'll find in these verses that Caleb is now 85 years old, that he stands on a promise, y'all, that was given to him 45 years ago. Yeah. Some of y'all wait on a promise from God, and it may not have been 45 days, and you're already ready to give up and throw in the towel. Can you imagine 45 years of waiting on God, yet Caleb never gave up? Yeah. That time didn't weaken God's promise. That time didn't weaken Caleb's faith. That time tested Caleb's faith, and he passed it with flying colors. He believed God. Somebody needs to know today, listen, that delay does not equal denial. You're waiting on God to do something. Yeah. You're waiting on God to move on your behalf. You're waiting on God to fix something. You're waiting on God to come through. And though it may be delayed, it's not denied. And to know that God is always, always right on time, that God's timing is not our timing, it's his timing. Yeah. And we have to wait on God. Amen, somebody, wait on God's timing. Yes, Lord. I found out something, that without God, I can do nothing. Without him, I will fail. Without God, I'm like a ship that's lost on the stormy seas without a sail. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4 says this, listen, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory. Yeah. Don't you know God is fighting for you right now?
Yes.
That God is on your side?
Yes.
He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. God is fighting in your sin. You don't even realize, but God is fighting on your behalf and my behalf. This reassures us that God is active in our lives. That God is not some kind of God that takes a big clock and winds it up and steps back and lets time just kind of move on. God is in time, and God is on time.
Yeah.
And God is moving in your situation, in my situation. But it's according to his time. It's according to his will and his plan in your life and my life. But we have to remember, remember that faith remembers the promise. That God gives Caleb a promise. Faith doesn't forget what God said, even when decades pass. Yeah. Even when the clock keeps on ticking, faith doesn't fail because God doesn't fail. So what does it look like at the everyday practical speed of life? This is the couple that's believing God for restoration in their marriage. Although they've had years and years of bickering and fighting, they're remembering the promises of God if they come together with God, that God can fix it. This is a leader still pursuing the calling that God has on their life. They've had some setbacks, but God is still in their situation. This is the believer still trusting God. Although the time on the clock seems like it's expired, God's faith has not expired. We hold on to the promises of God. Faith remembers when others forget. Faith rehearses what God's going to do. I can taste it. I can feel it. I can sense it. God's going to do it because he promised it, and you hold on to that. God said it. I'm standing on the promises of God, and I'm going to stay there. If God promised it, time cannot cancel it out. Do you believe what God says in your situation?
Yes.
Did you hear the voice of God? Did God speak from his word? He said something to you. Did you hear it and understand it and know it? Are you hanging on to that today? Faith that claims mountains remembers the promises of God. Caleb remembered the promise of God. Yeah. Although 45 years passed, he still remembered the promises of God. Not only that, faith refuses intimidation. Look at verse 12b in the text. Look with me. It says, so give me the hill country the Lord promised me. He says, you will remember that as scouts we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I'm going to drive them out because God said it. That's what the Lord said.
Yeah.
So Caleb's mountain, y'all, was occupied by Anakites. They were giants, the sons of Anak, 7, 8, 9 feet tall, big men, strong guys. I thought about this. These strong walls, these strong men, there must have been something valuable about that land. And in my mind, if it meant nothing, you know, it was just a junk heap and nobody would have even been there.
Yeah.
But strategically, it was important. And so it was heavily fortified. The presence of enemies confirmed the value of a thing. You got to listen to me. That if you had a shack, just some wood and rotted wood, you're not going to put a security team around that. It has no value. But if you talk about a mansion that's filled with precious things, you talk about a church that's filled with precious people, we got security. We got security. Because the contents of the, you are important, you are valuable. You protect what's valuable. How many people fight over stuff and try to hold on to things that have absolutely no value to God? How many people hold on to traditions and rules and the bylaws got to say this, the constant way, it's got to be like this. They're holding on to this stuff like this. And God says, I value relationships. I value loving each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I value care for each other. I value you trusting me. Yeah. That how many people hold on to stuff of little value to God? It's just valuable to us. Listen, you're probably under enemy attack right now. You don't even know it. That the enemy, he's prowling on you right now. And maybe you know it. But listen, this whole thing about attack from the enemy and resistance, it happens on the grounds of things that are important. That he's attacking you on the grounds of your marriage because your marriage is valuable.
Yeah.
He's attacking you on the grounds of your relationship with your children and loved ones because that's valuable to God. Where in your life is the enemy attacking you? That listen, resistance is often revelation.
Yeah.
The devil attacks y'all in strategic areas of your life. He attacks that which is strategically important. We fighting over the small stuff and the petty stuff and the cap on the toothpaste and putting the commode seat down, and we upset about stuff like that. But the devil's trying to take your marriage. He's trying to wipe you out. And so, no, listen, we have to stay strategic too and fight God's way. Fight with his word. Fight with his prayer. Faith refuses intimidation. Just look, give me this mountain. It belongs to me. Them giants that's up in there, this is what God promised. This is what God promised me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, y'all know the scripture where it talks about the devil, that he goes around y'all as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yes, sir.
Found out something, you know, the devil is roaring and he's loud and all of that, but listen, God stands between you and the devil. Let me put it this way. So, ever been to the zoo? Remember years ago in the Memphis Zoo, they got the cat house. It's got the lions and stuff in there. And you go inside, it's big and it's kind of hollow. And so when the lion roars, the whole building shakes. Now you imagine 7, 8-year-old, 9-year-old boy. I'm shaking in my boots. I'm shaking in my boots. Because, I mean, he's got the building shaking with his roar. But forgetting the fact that there's this big, these steel bars that stand between me and the lion. I want to let you know today that the devil is roaring as a lion. Like a lion, trying to fool you, but there's someone between you and the devil. That God stands between you, Jesus stands between you and him. So why be fearful? Why be intimidated? Why be afraid? That the devil is roaring and some of y'all shaking in your boots right now. Some of you are afraid. You're so afraid you stop trusting, you stop believing, you stop having hope, you stop dreaming. But God is on your side. You got his presence. You got his provision. You got his protection. You got his love. You got his care.
Yeah.
So let him roar on. Let him roar on. But God is on your side. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. So stop being fearful and claim the mountains. Claim the promises that God has given you and me. That faith refuses intimidation. Like Caleb, anything worth having, y'all, it's a fight. Lord have mercy. Talking to a brother the other day, another pastor, he said, "Lord, look like I'm fighting all the time." But isn't that how life really is? If it's worth having, y'all, you find yourself fighting over stuff. That I found out, so the bigger the battle, I believe, is the bigger the blessing. So fight on. Don't be intimidated. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. That's the promotion you're fighting for with pressure. That's the calling that God has placed on your life, but you've got some critics around you. Yeah, that's the marriage that's worth fighting for, but you got to keep on fighting. You got to keep on having faith. You have to keep on trusting God. Hold on to the promises of God.
Yeah.
That giants don't cancel God's promises. They simply confirm it. So if you're fighting, y'all, you fight and you just fight, it must be something of value.
Yeah.
It must be something that's important. So strategically and faithfully stand your ground. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. If God promised it, it's yours. Give me my mountain. Give me what God said belongs to me.
Yeah.
That's good. Last thing, we'll be out of here, y'all. We need to know that faith takes possession. Verse 12a again. That's where we focus. Caleb says, so give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. What has God promised you? Do you know that? Do you hear the voice of God? What has he promised you from his word? What has God said that's yours, that belongs to you? Are you willing to fight for it? Are you willing to take possession of it? That Caleb doesn't pray, ain't praying about it. Well, let me go to God in prayer and go to his prayer closet. He didn't negotiate it. He simply made a statement. Give me what's mine. Give me what belongs to me. Give me what God promised me. There are a whole lot of people, y'all, in life, they're waiting on the promises of God. They're waiting on God to move, but I found out something. Maybe God is waiting on you to move. Maybe God is waiting on you to take some courage, to stand up, and to fight with God's strength and to fight in God's power for that which belongs to you, that which belongs to me. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting on God to do? And maybe, it's just maybe, God is waiting on you to move. Faith that waits too long can miss its moment. That God has a moment in time, a window of opportunity to bless you in an area, and all you just sitting there whining and complaining, whining, God, why? Stand up in faith. As my niece says from Memphis, quit crying in. Quit crying in, not crying, crying in. And stand up and fight like a man of God. Fight like a woman of God. That you can take what God says you can take. You can have what God says you can. This is not just some faith mumbo jumbo I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about some name it and claim it stuff. I'm talking about what God says is yours. I know a whole lot of folks say God said there's something there and it's not theirs. You fighting for a man that don't belong to you. You fighting for a woman in a relationship you shouldn't be in anyway. But when God says something is yours, you can fight for it. You can stand on it. You don't have to be afraid. Faith takes possession. That Caleb possessed the land that God promised him. And y'all, it became, when you read the text, it became an inheritance to his descendants. It says Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord. He obeyed God. Yeah. Look at it this way. Man, I want blessings for my descendants. A blessing for my children and my children's children. A blessing for this ministry. Yeah. That what I feel like I'm fighting for in this season right now because Pastor Love getting old, y'all. And I keep hearing the word succession, you know, who's coming behind you? Who will be the people to come behind you? Who will lead in this church? That's becoming not so much about me and what I'll get, but what the legacy will leave for this ministry. That God has blessed us with some wise, faithful people these last almost 15 years that have helped to build this ministry. Yeah. But God is placing in this ministry some young minds and some young hearts and some young people filled with strength and wisdom and power. And it's time now to succeed and say, it's yours. So we're getting there, y'all. Some of y'all got real quiet on me now. I've been an usher in this position for 15 years. I ain't giving up my, no, that's not. But isn't it a blessing, y'all, to think about that God blesses you and you want to bless your descendants, you leave a legacy of overflow. Yeah. That somebody is blessed by the works that you did, what you did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Caleb believed God for the mountain. He believed him for the hill country. He received it and his descendants did too. Not just a blessing about me, it's a blessing of overflow for generations to come. Yes. That faith doesn't simply admire mountains. We're almost done. Okay. That faith will claim mountains. Y'all, you can attend church all day long, Sunday in and Sunday out through the week and never advance because you don't apply faith.
Come on.
You don't apply faith to the Word of God, what you believe about the Word of God. You can study Scripture all day long and never step out on faith. That you can believe God and never really obey God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe faith is a verb. It's an action word.
That
God speaks, we believe by faith, and we act in faith. Faith steps out. Faith secures what God says belongs to you and me. Some mountains may be calling your name right now. What will you do? Some promises are perhaps waiting on you in this very moment. Will you obey God? Some giants are standing where your blessing is right now. Will you speak to the giant? Will you speak to the mountain? Will you speak to the obstacles? Will you speak to the struggle and say, no, God says this belongs to me. What will you do?
Yeah.
So I want us to collectively, as a statement of affirmation, to say this today. Say, I remember what God said.
I remember what God said.
Come on, y'all didn't say that loud.
I remember what God said.
I refuse intimidation.
I refuse intimidation.
And I will take possession.
And I will take possession.
Now we're going to say it like we really mean it. We're going to say,
I remember what God said.
I refuse intimidation.
I refuse intimidation.
And I'm going to take possession. And the church said amen today. The church said amen. So as we close today, I'm reminded, y'all, of a story of a school teacher, a master teacher. They gave three of his students a difficult problem. And he says to his students, listen, it's a difficult problem. It's going to be hard to solve, but there's a way to solve it. So the first student sits down and works on the problem, and after a few minutes just kind of gave up on it. He said, I can't do this. The second student worked aggressively on the problem for a while, and After a while, listen, they gave up, but they were smiling and unconcerned. Hey, you know, it's kind of comical. Yeah, it can be done. I've seen somebody do it. But that third student, they sat there and they worked. And they worked. They worked on the problem, sweating. But they didn't give up. And that third student wouldn't give up because they said, I know there's a way. Because the master said, there's a way. That's where faith lies. That God speaks, and we believe the master.
Yeah.
That what he says can be done, it can be done. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how much we may struggle, no matter how long it takes, when God speaks, believe what God said and hold on to the very promises of God. God said it, I believe it, that settles it, and I'm going to claim what belongs to me. Faith that claims mountains never retires from trusting God and having faith in God. And so I can do what the master says I can do. That I can claim mountains in the name of Jesus. I can cross rivers because he said I can do it. I can bear some burdens because he says I can do it. I can overcome adversity because the master says I can do it. I can take over turmoil because the master says I can do it. I can conquer critics because the master says I can. Somebody gonna get this in a minute. I can leap over lies because the master said it. I can prevail in persecution because the master said I can do it. I can triumph over tragedy because the master said I can do it. I can disturb the devil because the master said I can witness to somebody, help bring him to a saving relationship in Jesus because the master said it. And I can impact the kingdom of God. I can impact the kingdom of God because Jesus said, the word says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't know about you, y'all, but I'm claiming my mountain. I'm claiming my mountain. I'm claiming the promises of God. I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing on his promises. What God says I can have, I can have. I won't let any devil in hell stop me from getting what God has. I want all of his promises. The promises of God in Jesus are yes, and they are amen. And they belong to us. But the question is, will you claim your mountain? And the church said, come on, give God praise in the house today. Come on, give God. Claim your mountain. Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much for this word today. God, your promises are yes and they are amen. In Christ Jesus. God, we want everything that you have for us. So help us to hold on to your promises, to not let go. And right now, there are people here today that are facing some steep mountains in their lives. They're hard to climb. They're struggling. They're straining. It seems like they'll never reach a certain point. But God, if you said it, that settles it. It will happen. It will come to pass. So God, we simply hold on. We walk by faith and not by sight. We trust you. For that broken relationship, God, that you want to bring healing, we trust you. For finances that are in array, God, we trust you. For that need for whatever it may be, employment, God, we trust you. Because you said you'll supply our every need. That's your promise. Yes. We don't know how, we don't know when, but God, we simply trust you. And God, in this moment, we trust you for your saving work and your saving power. Speak to that person right now that does not know you in the pardon of their sins. Speak by your spirit. Draw them by your spirit. Speak to that person right now, Lord God, who's in a saving relationship with you, but they're not connected to a local fellowship where they can worship with other believers, pray with other believers, serve with other believers. Speak to that heart right now. Draw them by your spirit and by your power, we pray. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So perhaps there's someone here today. We want to say this to you. We admit that we're all sinners, that we've fallen short of God's grace and His glory, that God sent His Son, Jesus, into the world to die for your sins and my sins. He died, but He did not stay dead. 3 days later, He got back up with all power in His hands. It's this Jesus we believe in. If you're here today and you're not connected to a local church, you are a born-again believer, but you're not connected to a local church, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church your church of choice. If you're believing for the first time, or if you're even wondering, we have new member ministry advisor will meet you in room number 1 across the hallway. They'll answer any questions you might have. So believing for the first time, already a born-again believer, want to connect with this church either way, we invite you even now. Hands are extended. Our ushers have their hands extended.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Check us out online at salivingfaith.org, where you can discover other ways to stay connected, like Tuesday Gospel Air, our Wednesday Bible study, or our men's prayer call on Fridays, and many others. We look forward to seeing you.